the Erie First Podcast, the weekly message series featuring Pastor Nicole Schreiber. We spent the last few weeks talking about habits. We all have good habits and bad habits, and in our series, Kingdom Habits, we're learning the keys to develop habits that make us more like Jesus. In the first week, Pastor Daniel Brooker started us off by discussing how we can bless others. Last week, Pastor Nicole looked at the surprisingly spiritual act of sharing a meal together. Today, Pastor Daniel is back with us, and he's going to talk about how God can move when we stop talking and start listening. So let's get started today and discover what it means to develop the habit of listening to the Holy Spirit. Here's Pastor Daniel.
We've been talking about habits, and we all have them, right? We have good habits, we have bad habits. And we have habits that are things that really we do without even thinking about it. But this series and what we're talking about is how we want to have kingdom habits, or habits that make us more like Jesus. That things that we do automatically every day to pursue Jesus more, to become more like him. Things that will develop us to resemble him more. And we said that we were going to give you five simple habits to implement into your lives that would help us with this mission. And we believe here in our mission at Erie First, right, is to love, build, and send. And that means that each and every one of us is a missionary to the spaces and places of our lives. This isn't for just the person next to you. This isn't for just for the person in front of you, behind you. This is for each and every one of us, that we can truly be missionaries to those spaces. And so we're taking this, and this is our third week, all right? And we've told you that if you let these habits be impactful to your life, you're gonna see a change. We've heard from a lot of you that you are feeling that you are really resonating with this. And a lot of you have already purchased. We're taking this as a staff is kind of reading through a book called Surprise the World. I know many of you have purchased the book. I don't know how many of you have out there have already purchased the book. We have a few more in the lobby today if you're interested in studying this a little deeper or following along with us in the sermon series. So you can get those in the lobby today. And you're not going to want to miss out on any of the sermons or the rest of the series, because we still got a few more weeks, a couple more habits to kind of discuss. But why don't we pray and let's get started, okay? So if you can bow your heads. God, we thank you so much for this day. I thank you for this next generation of youth that is coming up, this generation of young adults. I believe, God, that there is something special about them, that there is a longing and a desire to know you more, to love you deeper, that this next generation and the generations to come, that we will see your glory poured out. So God, I just praise you, and I pray for these upcoming generations and this entire church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're looking at our lives and these habits. And I don't know about you, but how many of us want to live a life that's holy, righteous, set apart, and on mission, right? And that's why we get to discuss this. We say, hey, what is it that we can do to be on mission, to live the way God has called us to live? How do we do that? So over the last couple of weeks, we talked about some habits. Let's just kind of review them here. We talked about the first week. We challenged you to bless three people each week. Right? To bless three people each week, one of whom doesn't attend our church. And then last week, Pastor Nicole examined the life of Jesus and challenged us on who are we eating with, and about how we should eat with three people each week, one of whom is not a member of the church. How many of you are kind of trying to follow along, trying to step up to the challenge? Do I got people stepping up to the challenge? I see some hands. All right. Yeah, because we talked about if we bless and if we eat and we do these things with people with our church, we're going to create a strong community here. But not only that, but as we reach out, we're going to see this completely change our community. These challenges will build up and promote the habits of generosity, hospitality, and all these other habits in your life. Now, I don't know about you, but for me as an extrovert, man, these first two, whoo. I mean, how many of you are my extroverts out there, right? You can go and talk to some strangers. These first two, you're telling me to go talk to people, bless them. You're telling me I should go eat with people. Oh, yeah, I can do that. I can do that pretty easily. These next couple ones kind of change here. It might be a little bit more challenging for some of us, even for myself. I know Pastor Quint will often talk about how he's given sermons that like affect him and stuff. All right, so she gave me this sermon. No, we got sermons here that really speak to us before we come and speak to you, okay, is what we're saying. But this is the truth, is today I want to talk to you about the habit of being willing and open to listen, to listen. Now, I'm not just talking about listening to anyone. I'm not just talking about, you know, wives, don't be hitting your husband saying, listen, listen, okay? I'm not talking about listening to anybody and everybody. I'm talking specifically today about the habit of listening to the Holy Spirit and how that works to spend at least one intentional period of time a week listening and trying to know the Spirit's voice. For us to love and do what we're talking about here, to be missional and on target, to love this world and make a difference, we need to know the Spirit's voice. You see, this was the routine of Jesus, and I don't know about you, but if something is the routine and a priority for Jesus, today I would like to make that a routine and a priority for me as well. That's probably a good space and place to start. And so we can see multiple times throughout the scripture that Jesus retreated to listen and pray in solitude. So let's look. I'm just going to kind of quickly read. These are some of the instances where Jesus did this. We see that in the book of Mark tells us that he did it to prepare for ministry, right? This was when Jesus was tempted by the devil. So he was baptized, and before he went into ministry, he retreated into solitude. It was after an exhausting day of ministering to the sick in Mark 1, a place of frequent retreat amidst the busy crowds of people who were seeking him. He did this in preparation for healing and for the Sermon on the Mount. You see, Jesus went into solitude after hearing about John the Baptist being beheaded. Or after the 12 returned and before he fed the 5,000, he again went into solitude and prayer. And after he fed the 5,000, before Peter walked with him on water, guess what he did? Can you guys guess it? He went into prayer and solitude. Okay, you guys are catching along here. All right, and then after healing many and before feeding the 4,000, he again did it. And then even right before initiating and kind of going into the agonizing ending, he again went into a time of prayer and solitude. As you can see, as we look at the pattern and the habits that Jesus had, as we want to have our kingdom habits, Jesus was missional in the life that he lived. And one translation says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places. Another pastor, Pastor Bill Gutierrez, says this, that the priority of Jesus' solitude and silence is everywhere in the Gospels. It's how he began his ministry. It's how he made important decisions. It's how he dealt with troubling emotions like grief. It's how he dealt with the constant demands of his ministry and cared for his soul. It's how he prepared for death on the cross. Right there, I think if we look at that, we can kind of relate to that because we all live life. So as we prepare to go into the work, as we prepare to face a challenge, as we get news we didn't expect, as we kind of have these different moments, we need to rely on the Spirit and having that communication, that solitude, that time. You see, we want to live missional lives, and we can't trust on our own intellect. We can't trust on our own power. We can't even trust on our own passion or gumption. I was excited to say gumption in my sermon today. I got to tell you, gumption. No. For us to live missional lives, for us to live the lives that the Holy Spirit in Christ is calling us to live, then we must listen to the Holy Spirit and listen to the voice of who Jesus gave us after his death. This is what Jesus said he's going to do. John 14, 15 says this, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, comforter, encourager, counselor. The Greek reads paraclete, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads all truth. We've talked about that word there before, paraclete. Again, the Holy Spirit is to empower us, to guide us, to give us strength. We've often think of like parasites take life. The Holy Spirit gives life, paraclete, giving life. And Jesus tells us that he's going to send us this other one for us to listen, for us to get guidance and counsel. So why is this so important for us today with Kingdom Habits? Because if we are blessing, if we're doing those first two challenges, if we are blessing others, if we are eating with people around us, then we need the Holy Spirit to help us resist some of our worst impulses, The two impulses I'm talking about today are mission or kingdom habit killers are fear and laziness. Now, those might be a little bit less dramatic than you were like, oh, my worst impulses, fear and laziness. That might not be what you thought I was going to say. But when we look at this and we begin to have kingdom habits, we understand that blessing others and those in our church and outside, there's going to be times where fear begins to creep in. There's going to be fear of us standing out. There's going to be fear of us causing offense. There's going to be fear that, oh my goodness, if I reach out and I start having conversations, if I live a questionable life in which people want to ask me questions about my faith, what if I don't have the answers? And fear could stop us. Or laziness, right? Now, I'm not talking about like the couch potato laziness. I'm talking about the laziness that we can create excuses to not do the mission that God's called us to do. Laziness such as, you know, I just don't have the time for it. I don't have time to bless people or eat with others. I don't have time to be missional. Or, you know what? Actually, I need to take care of me first. You see, fear and laziness have the ability to shut our mouths, tie our hands, and cut our missional engagement with the world. Fear and laziness has the ability to shut our mouths, tie our hands, and cut our missional engagement with the world. But there's an antidote. And the antidote to fear and laziness is faith and trust in the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit's asking us to do. You see, this is crucial. These aren't two separate. As we say, hey, I want to bless others. I want to eat with others. We need to be listening to the prompting and the guidance of the Holy Spirit that will guide us to break through to people. That will guide us to break through to people. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. As it said there, Jesus said, I'm sending you a comforter. He's our comforter. But guess what? He's the comfort we need to give to our neighbor. And the Spirit will prompt us and speak that to us. He is our encourager. But guess what? At times, maybe the Spirit is going to prompt you and speak to you and say, hey, it's your neighbor. It's the person next to you in that pew. It's the youth student that's walking down the hallway with their head low. Maybe they're the ones who need encouragement. And the Spirit will prompt and guide and tell us. You see, the Holy Spirit will work in our lives and speak to us. And we need the courage to listen and obey. And this all sounds great, but then the natural question comes, right? And so the question we kind of ask ourselves a lot of time is that that's great. I want to do that, but how? Where do I start? What's the how to understanding and listening and knowing the Spirit's voice? So I want to go through what I could say broke down to some couple points here of how we can listen to the Spirit. Are you guys with me still? All right, good. I don't see anyone sleeping yet. I mean, no, I'm just kidding, no one's yet, okay. You see, we wanna listen to the Holy Spirit and make it a habit in our lives. So the first one is this, and it sounds very elementary, but we need to set aside a designated time. Set aside a designated time. Stop. Create a space to listen for the Spirit's guidance. As we go through our lives and we begin to let the Holy Spirit direct us and guide us, we will know His voice and understand. But if you are beginning this and we're trying to understand what is the Spirit's voice, we need to stop and set this time apart. You want to know whether that's the Spirit's voice or that bad burrito that you ate for lunch. You're like, I don't. Funny, but realistic, right? We need to take time to know the difference between the voice of God and our emotions. We need to be able to tell the difference because many people have been hurt, led astray, confused by someone claiming to have heard the Lord's voice, but yet was acting out of their own emotions and power. So we need to take time and understand and recognize His voice. And how do we do that? Well, Justin Morrell, he was a prophet. I don't know, some of you joined us in the past year. He was here and did a teaching about the prophetic. And he gave us this one tip that I thought was really useful today. And he said this, intimacy equals frequency. Intimacy equals frequency. And he explained it that in order for us to hear the Spirit, in order for us to know what the Lord is frequently saying to us or accurately saying to us, then we need to have a level of intimacy with Him, a level in which we know the Lord. You know, I have been married, you know, for 11 years now. I know. I don't look that old. Trust me. I know. But 11 years I've been married. And during that time, I have a beautiful wife. And we took time to date, to get to know each other's dislikes and likes. And we got to know each other. And that took time. It took time to create that relationship, to know what she would want, the voice that what she would do. And we became like one in that sense of a relationship in our marriage, to know the fact that we can know what each other want. And the same way with relationship with the Lord, it takes time. It takes time to know his voice, to know what he would want us to do. So we set aside designated times to know his voice and to be able to distinguish it. You see here, this year I had a situation which I love to like look back at. And the fact is, if you know my story, I'm not going to share the whole thing, but within the past year, I've gone through some transition with the job here and becoming on staff at Erie First. And it was this practice that luckily allowed for me to know the Spirit's voice, because one of the key things that led to this decision was I was driving back last Christmas, not just the most recent one, but actually a year ago. And I felt the Spirit tell me I needed to do a fast, 10 days water only. Now, first of all, I could have told you that was the Spirit, because I ain't gonna go without eating for 10 days. That's not my flesh, all right? But there was something different. And because of time alone, time with the Lord, I knew, I was like, this is different. I know I need to do this. And it was at the end of that 10-day fast that I truly felt my calling into pastoral ministry and to be here standing with you today. So we set time. We set time every week. This is the challenge. Set time to be quiet and listen to the Spirit's voice. Don't just let it happen. Eventually, you'll know when the voice of the Spirit is speaking to you. But for right now, take time. And you might not feel like you hear his voice right away. I want to encourage you with that, because I know that's something I encourage the youth students a lot of the times with, because they're like, I don't know if I heard the Lord. I don't know what that was. Or actually, I didn't hear anything. But almost just the same way that Korah said up here again in her spoken word, again and again and again, the Lord showed up. You know what? In your quiet time, take time to designate it. And again and again and again, seek his face, to have that intimacy, to have that frequency. And he will talk to you. He will speak to you. The second thing I would encourage you with is this: to eliminate distractions. You want to hear the voice of the Lord. You want to hear the Spirit, is to eliminate distractions. Have it be a time of solitude, silence, prayer. You see, everything needs to really at first maybe be turned off, because even worship music for me, when I first started, I was like, I'm just singing. I'm not bad. But I was so in my head with the music, I couldn't hear. You see, Jesus did this in Mark 1:35-39, and I want to read it here today for you. It says that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, yes, young adults and youth, there is a time in the morning where it's dark, all right? It's early, all right? But Jesus got up. He left the house. He went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." And Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to a nearby village so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. You see, this passage has come to us just after Jesus did a whole day's worth and talks about how he was healing, and time after a whole town, demon-possessed, healing. They kept coming and coming and coming. And I don't know about you, but after a long day's work, what I usually want to do is sleep in. What I normally want to do is sleep in and relax with like the people around me. But Jesus, he didn't do that. He got up. He retreated away to somewhere where there was a good chance of no distraction. Peter still found him. It's kind of on par for Peter, right? Like, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? I'm going to find him. But at least he got a buffer there. He found some solitude. He found a place away, and he found this point where he could hear the Father's voice. Today in our world, I think we actually have to take a couple extra steps because of this, right? If you thought I was rude for having my phone out, now it's a sermon illustration, okay? No, but our phones, right? Microsoft did a survey, and I think this has probably gone up since then, that 77% of young adults answered yes when asked, "When nothing is occupying my attention, the first thing I do is reach for my phone." I think we could change that. That's 77% of all people, okay? Let's just do a quick survey. No, it's not just young adults. So maybe we got to go back a little bit to the old-fashioned paper. Because if you're doing your devotions and all of a sudden that text message comes up or something comes up, we got to remove distractions from our life. And so help yourself when you're trying to hear the Spirit's voice and remove those distractions. Because if we do that, we also want to take the time to, three, let God in. You see, listening allows the Spirit of God to become a source of great comfort, peace, and answers for our present problems. Our problems and thoughts can overcome our mind. The extractions that I just talked about, Jesus got away, you know, that's like one sense. We remove the external distractions. But for many of us, I think in this room, if you are with me today, you would say the solitude and the silence sometimes doesn't get broken by external distractions, but the thoughts that plague my mind. How do I quiet? How do I stop the voice that, or the things that are going on in my head? And our problems and thoughts derail us or distract us. But Jesus said, this is important, and we got to listen and prepare to the Lord's voice. In verse 38, Mark says, Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. This is why I have come." You see, Jesus in that time, I believe, he got direction from his Father. He heard the Lord's voice. He removed the intro. He let God in to speak to where he should go. Where should he go? And he said, this is what we should do. This is why I've come. I've come to preach. Let's go this other direction. In Surprise the World, the book that we're talking about here, Frost kind of says this. He says, the first thing to do is to rest and abide in the presence of the Lord, to let his love pour over us. I don't know how many of you guys are outcome-driven people. You might be sitting there kind of thinking, how many of you are outcome-driven people? You might go into a time of prayer and be like, all right, Lord, speak, I'm ready. Wisdom, knowledge, courageous, let's go. Like, you're ready for it. And that's not the first, like, I just hit myself in the head with my Bible. That was not in my notes. Just gonna say. All right, but we take that time because we might be outcome driven, going, you know, I just need wisdom. I need courage. But the Lord is saying, first, just let me speak to you. Let me actually talk about this thing that you didn't bring up. Let me speak into this part of your life. Let me abide with you. Let me have you in my presence. You see, when we do that, we let God in and we begin to eternally learn his voice so we can follow God's promptings. This is the fourth thing here is to follow God's promptings. And this is how we talk about it in the sense of being missional. When we begin to let the Spirit speak to us and we hear his voice, then we can have the promptings to do and have the courage to do what the Spirit is telling us to do. When we talk about blessing and eating, maybe the Spirit's going to speak to you and say, you need to bless this person. You need to speak to this person in line. And you're thinking, you know what? That's not someone I would have ever spoken to. That's not someone I would have ever said that to. That's not someone I would ever invite into my house to eat with me. But when we begin to take a second and go, Spirit, speak and let me listen. Then we truly can be missional. Then we truly can be not just on our mission, not on what Daniel thinks is the mission, but we begin to go, God, what is your word say? What's your mission? Who am I to bless? Who am I to eat with? Who am I to tell about you? We let the Spirit guide us because he can do it better than we can imagine and bring forth opportunities that you and I maybe have never dreamt of. We let the Spirit guide us because for many of us, I think we're seeking to live missional lives here. And as we talk about this, as we're talking about, hey, don't just do this in the context of our church, right? We don't want just to bless only the church. We don't want to just eat with only the church. We want to be out there so that people can know the hope that Jesus has. We want to live the lives and have the world go, I want what you have. And when we do that, there becomes a difficulty, right? Of balancing being judgmental and withdrawn, and then also being sucked into maybe a full social setting that could be questionable or maybe even ungodly. There's this balance of God, where is this balance at? I don't want to be withdrawn like the Pharisees, where I may have everything right, but I'm just completely judgmental and withdrawn. And I also, God, I know what your word says, and I will not do that. You know how we find that balance? By listening to the Spirit. Because the Spirit will say, do this. And the Spirit's not going to tell you to do anything that's ungodly. If it goes against God's word, that's not the Spirit. But he will guide us and go, you know what? Go up to that person who you think is doing something ungodly and say, the Lord loves you. Tell them about it. We can live in this balance of going, God, I'm not going to withdraw myself away from the world, but I also will hold the standards true of what your word says. And the Spirit will guide us and do that. So we listen. So I want to share with you this last story. It was shared with us this past week. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. We had the opportunity to host one of our missionaries that we talk about kingdom builders. And this past week, one of our missionaries, Alberto from Africa, was here, and he got to come into the staff and share a story. And it wrecked my day in a great way, in a great way. And it fits right here with this. And he told us a story of, he was on the phone with a pastor in Africa, and he was trying to help them because this pastor just underwent persecution. So he was actually going to help them to see if they get his family and this pastor out of the area for a little bit of time. And the pastor said, no, I don't want to. And began to tell the story that Alberto shared with us then today. And this is the story, is that this pastor is working with a number of underground churches, churches that the area is not fully supportive of, and the government officials don't want the Christian church to grow. So they pulled in this pastor, and they said, and tried to question him, tried to entice and engage him in a way that would kind of get him to stop. And so they thought, what's the best way to get someone to stop? We will embarrass him. We'll imprison him and embarrass him. And so Alberto told us and said about how this pastor, to embarrass him, wasn't just imprisoned in a normal prison, but this pastor was placed in the prison latrine, in the toilet area, in the bathroom of the prison. Alberto continued to share with us, saying that this pastor was there for almost 90 days. He said it was 30 days, and then 30 days, and then 30 days. And this pastor had to sit there next to the toilet while everyone, all the guards, all the inmates, everybody came in, used the bathroom, and left. Why am I telling you this? Because in that time, there was a day, and this pastor was sitting there, and he was praying, and a guard came in, used the restroom. And as he was leaving, the pastor felt the Lord speak to him and tell him his daughter's going to be okay. So as the guard went to leave, this pastor looked at him and said, I just want to let you know that your daughter's going to be okay. And he turned around and looked at him confused and left. And then the next day, this guard came back into the bathroom. And here, the day after, this pastor had told him that his daughter had an appointment for some kind of medical procedure. And the doctor said that she was completely fine. There was no need for it. So this guard came rushing back in. And how did you know that my daughter was going to be okay? And this pastor got to share with him. The Lord spoke to me and preached to him and told him the gospel. That guard ended up over the next few days giving his life to Christ. And over that time in that latrine, 10 more guards gave their life to Christ. Yeah. It started with listening to the Spirit's voice. Tell that guard, his daughter's going to be okay. You see, for us to live missional lives, to us to have kingdom habits, to live lives that are on mission, hear the voice of God. Listen to it and know his voice. Let's pray today. Jesus, we just want to know you and love you more. We want to hear your voice, even through the muck, even through the mire, even through the distractions. God, I pray that we would remove them so that today, as a church, as a body of believers, we can truly see your kingdom come, that we can truly go to the lost. God, you didn't come for the healthy. You didn't come for those who don't need a savior. God, you came for the sick, for the weary. So God, I pray that we would hear your voice. I pray that your Spirit would speak to us, and that as a church, we would have the boldness to go and do as you said. So God, I pray that we would find the balance to not be withdrawn, to not be sucked in, but to find the balance led by the Spirit of God to be on mission and to have your kingdom come. So God, I pray that you would speak to us this week and we would take time to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Erie First Podcast. If you enjoy our podcast, please give us a rating and a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And please subscribe so you never miss a message. You can follow Erie First on Facebook or Instagram, or visit eriefirst.org for all our latest news, announcements, and information. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time.